Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this segment of Ministry Along the Way Radio. I'm Demetria.
And I am Tanyel. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Tanyel.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine. Yes,
okay,
I do.
Cool. How are you?
Welcome. Welcome to everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm good. Yep. I'm good. It's been kind of a hectic 3 days, I think. Worked a little late both yesterday and today. I work at a local community college, and today was commencement. So yesterday was preparing for it, and today was the big event. So it's just been a little hectic.
Yeah, I can imagine with graduations and everything and folks trying to make certain that they have their paperwork in order. And so I know
yes.
that keeps you busy because you're a part of making sure
yeah.
some of that paperwork is in order.
But I love being busy. I love the flow. I must say I do. It's not a burden to me. I do enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah, so how was your day?
Yeah. My day was really good. Again, folks, just so that you all know, we're not in the studio again this week. I will be back soon, though. Early on when we first started this, the radio show, I mentioned that I was doing home renovations. I am still trying to complete those renovations. So once I get off of the air tonight, I'm actually going to do some touch-up painting, Demetria. So, that's my day. I had work early on and just trying to get this assignment completed.
I know it's coming along, and I wish you well with that because it's been long enough, I think, and you're ready to see some light at the end of the tunnel, huh?
I'm ready for some finality. Yes, I am, but I must say I can't wait until you see it. It's really coming together. I want to say, I normally listen to the show. I normally listen to our segments like immediately the next morning. I just have to listen, right? And so since I haven't been staying at my house and just kind of like, out of sorts a little bit. So I listened yesterday. I didn't get a chance to listen early like I would normally like to, but, it's okay. And Demetria, I text you, so you already know this, but I just want to say it again. It was really a wonderful segment. And there was some learning moments as I was listening, just some learning moments also, because as you and I had shared with some of the folks, you and I don't talk about what we're going to share, right? And so just to hear some of the things that come out of our conversation, because really this is like a conversation you and I are having together, even though we've invited folks in, and I learned a lot from you. I learn a lot from you as well. And so just to hear, how we both have been affected by some of the things that are going on in this world, it was just really heartfelt to hear and also a learning experience. So,
I think it was a very good conversation that we got started on last week and that we're going to continue with tonight. This is part two of Lord, Hear Our Cry, where we are just going to discuss some of the current events here in America especially, but maybe a few that are going on worldwide. I think the big question for me, that as I consider what's going on in the world today, in society, is what should our response be as believers to some of these things that are going on? You know, do we have a part to play? Do we just pray and leave it at that? Or is there more additional actions that we should take? So that's a big question for me. I don't ask it in a way to stir controversy. I sincerely want to know, and if I'm missing something, I want light shed on it for me. Like, maybe there is something more I can be doing. So that's my hope with these conversations, that that it spurs an interest, that it spurs like a fire in me, as well as you and other people who are listening. You know, that we really become active and not just spectators, but participants in the things that God would have us to do. So I am happy to be having this part two of this conversation.
I'm glad you mentioned again, you know, and I'm glad that you posed the question the way that you did, because as I was listening, I wrote down, why should we pray? You know, and I know we mentioned that a lot in our last segment, and of course you're also asking the other part of that, after we pray, then what do we do? But I just wanted to kind of just focus on the prayer part, because a lot of times we just throw that around, not meaning you and I intentionally, but just meaning in general, folks will say, well, just pray about it, kind of loosey-goosey. And I have been guilty of that at some points in my life, too. You know, just pray about it, or I'm just going to pray about it, you know. But, again, I always share, as I've come to know and accept Christ in my life a little bit more intimately, you know, I'm understanding the whole power and the purpose of prayer, and just realizing that you know, it's just a simple, because some people who may be listening don't even understand, or how do I pray, you know, when we keep mentioning pray. And for me, I just learned that it's just a basic conversation, just a conversation with God.
Right.
Basically is what I'm trying to say. And that in that conversation, when you talk to someone all the time, you begin to, you know, you're frequently knowing that, you know, it's a frequent conversation. You begin to intimately know that person.
Right.
That person begins to know you intimately. They know you by voice almost, you know. You and I've already shared, we haven't been knowing one another that long, but I know your voice. If I was standing somewhere down the street and I just kind of, you know, heard you yell or something out of 10 people, I can pick you out of those 10, because we're talking a little bit more, and we're purposefully trying to get to know one another. And so I look at prayer just like that, you know, trying to get closer with God and get to know Him a little bit more, and when we're seeking Him first. You know, just trying to get to know Him more. And then also letting God know that He is sovereign in our lives. You know, when we go to Him, we're showing Him that we're dependent upon Him. We need You, Lord, and we need You for answers, or we just need to talk to You.
Right.
Or whatever, you know. And then those other things that we may ask for, those blessings that God has promised us. So I just wanted to just say that, you know, that for folks who may say, well, how do I even begin to pray? And just start by having a conversation just like you would with your friend. You want to be God's friend, you know. There's a passage that says that Abraham was God's friend. And you want that same intimate, I know I do, that intimate relationship.
Right.
I'll stop there, Misa, in case you wanted to say something, because I did want to add a little bit more, but I'm going to stop.
It's okay. Go ahead. Help yourself.
So you know, more of trying to understand that whole thing about why should we pray, looking for an example to kind of share with folks about who prayed, who in the Bible prayed, you know, what was the benefit of that prayer life, getting to know God more and relying on God and letting Him know that you are, you know, sovereign in our lives. And I just names that we are all familiar with. Moses, who prayed to God, to seek guidance from God on what should he do in leading God's people. We all know David. The book of Psalms is dedicated to David, and some of Proverbs where David cried out to God a lot because sometimes he was running for his life, and sometimes it was, you know, because some things that he had done wrong, and he just went to God, you know, crying out for guidance and for forgiveness. And then Jesus, you know, sweet Jesus, how much, which is our greatest model, how Jesus prayed to God, to his own Father for guidance, and even prayed for us, prayed for the very people
right.
who at one time denied him, and Jesus even prayed for us. And, you know, so at any time, you know, I know this is not a Bible study class, but, you know, I always try to encourage folks to dig deep into God's word and find examples of things when you have questions. So if you don't know how to pray, just stick, and Demetria mentioned it once before, there's Google. You can Google anything, and it'll direct you to scriptures in the Bible where you can then go into those scriptures and actually read them for yourself and see those examples that I'm talking about. So I'll stop there.
Right. You're fine. I do want to go ahead and mention the telephone number for those of you who may be listening by computer. Sometimes you might have a little glitch. You can dial in and listen over your telephone. So you can do that by dialing 347-637-3604. If you want to then add your voice to the conversation and let us hear what's on your hearts and minds, you can press the number 1 after dialing the telephone number. We'll be more than happy to hear from you and let you join in with us. Again, this is part 2 of Lord, Hear Our Cry, and that telephone number once again is 347-637-3604. Again, we are discussing some of the current events going on in our nation and in the world at large. We're not just randomly throwing things out. Of course, there are all kinds of random things that are happening, but we want to be purposeful in that part of our conversation is to bring God in on this, you know, folks. Mm-hmm. So that we can focus our attention with all that's happening, with all of the distractions, with all of the chaos, and make sure that we are not neglecting to acknowledge our Creator in the middle of all of this. After all, He is the maker of us all. He is in control of it all. While this world system that we live in is not His, He is still the Creator of this world. He is very much attentive to what is going on. I don't want anybody to be deceived in thinking that God does not see, that God does not hear. He does indeed. And, you know, one day we're all going to know that. One day we're all going to realize just how much God really was aware of what was going on in every situation. So, you know, with that said, Tanyel, you want to, you know, introduce a headline that we can start to discuss?
Well, yeah, I do, and I want to say even, I know someday we will know, Nisi, and developing that prayer life, even now you can experience knowing that God is well aware of everything that's going on. And when you have that prayer life with Him talking back and forth, those revelations start to come about, and you can even witness that now, knowing that he's well involved in our lives. But yeah, so when we hung up on last Tuesday, I text you immediately because I mentioned something that really has been concerning me, where I keep running across headlines where parents, specifically mothers, who are murdering their children. And, you know, I just have to bring it up again. It's just really, it's weighing on me. You know, I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
As soon as we hung up, going back, you know, looking on Yahoo, and there it stuck out, a woman kisses her baby before throwing him off of the bridge. And I'm just like, what?
Incredible.
You, Incredible. 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 Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I know sometimes people, you know, get maybe a little, it's a little overwhelming when you say sometimes when you may hear pastors or even believers in Christ say that there are demonic forces that are out there. But there, I mean, but there are principalities that are among us in the world that is causing a lot of evilness in the world. And some of that shows up in it manifests itself in mental illness and things of that nature. And this is Tanyelle talking again. And I just believe that this is one of those things why we need to cry out to God again, you know, in helping us to understand that, to be able to really continue on knowing that a mother just kissed her baby and threw him off the bridge. And Lord, you want me still to believe that there's this higher purpose for my life in this world, and you want me to trust and believe in you. And this mother just kissed her baby and threw him off of the bridge. And so, and I'm repeating that because, you know, we should never get comfortable with things like that. That's nothing that we should be comfortable with. I'm just blown away by it. But I still believe in those things that God has said, that, you know, there's still life here on this earth. There's still good things here. There's still, an abundance of blessings that the Lord has for us. However, unfortunately, there's evil that we live in this world with. There's evil amongst us, and you have to go to God in order to help you maintain and live knowing that evil exists. Demetria, am I making sense?
Yes, you're making a lot of sense. It's something that we can become desensitized to. Like right now, like you said, we're hearing a lot about mothers doing harm to their children. Some of them outright killing them. Others are harming them in some horrible way. But, you know, at some point, just like every day in the news, you might hear about some murder in the inner city or something like that, and we kind of become a little desensitized. It doesn't really affect us. After all, it's not somebody we knew. So we can hear those stories and still just go on with our lives and it not really trouble us. Not really, you know. Oh, here we go again. We might say something like that. Another murder, I can't believe it. And then we go on about our day. But lately, to hear these stories about these women killing or harming their children, right now, our sensitivity is heightened to that.
Yeah.
We don't need to come to a place where we're desensitized to that, where it's just another something we hear every day. Like, Lord, help us to stay sensitive. Help us to always cringe when we hear something like that, that it never becomes just everyday run-of-the-mill news to us anymore. So that when we do hear something like that, it does bring us to our knees. It does make us cry out. It does make us think out, what this is wrong. Is there something that I can do about it? Even if not for that person, but it might say, let me be more aware of the people in my own life. They might be calling out to me or to others in their lives and saying, I need help.
I need help.
There was an incident here locally that a mother, she just put her two young babies in the car, and she killed them and herself. Now, before she did that, she indicated to people in her life that she was going to do those kids harm. She said it. She gave indication. I don't know how seriously she was taken. And you just don't know. That's why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to let God lead us. And so so that we don't miss those signs, or we don't just overlook them or say, you know what, you know, she's just talking nonsense. Some of those threats, you know, whether
they're serious,
they didn't mean it on the other end, we might need to go ahead and pursue it as if, you know, they mean what they're saying. And so, again, just so that we don't become desensitized to things that the headlines that you just brought up, you know, Just, Father, please make us aware, make us ever sensitive to hear the heart cry of hurting people.
Absolutely.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, Demetria. That was good. And also, you touched on something just now when you mentioned that sometimes we may kind of brush it off when a person has expressed something. And then there's another part of it, too, where sometimes you may not know what to do with that information. You know, you may not, okay, what do I do? And especially in dealing with people who are severely depressed or people who may have some other mental health issues, a lot of times loved ones are just not equipped to handle that. So, and then sometimes you may be embarrassed about it. You don't want to seek medical attention or even bring someone to seek medical attention. But again, Demetria, you're correct. See God for guidance in that. To help you in that direction and seeking proper medical attention for if it's you or even a loved one, there's help out there. And also not being embarrassed to find that help, you know, because the kind of Christ we serve, you don't have to be embarrassed about anything. And, you know, God has made provisions for us. And so there's different health care out there that's available to people who are struggling with depression or, you know, bipolar, schizophrenia, anything like that, there's help. So, you know, I agree with Demetria. If you hear a loved one that's crying out in that way, if you can't help them, you know, contact someone that may be able to help them out with that situation. And then ask God to then take control of that situation and possibly open that person's heart up to receive the proper help, you know.
Right, because it could possibly save someone or someone's, multiple people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just some small intervention. So, yes, it has been overwhelming hearing those stories, hearing those headlines, and seeing families grieving. You know, certainly some of these situations are bigger than us, and we're not trained for them, like you just alluded to. But sometimes just that listening ear, sometimes just letting that person know, I'm here for you. And you know what? I'm watching you. I just heard you say something. It disturbed me. I don't know if you're serious or not, but I'm taking you seriously.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to even let, I've had to say that to a friend. I've had to say that. And I took her very seriously. And I think for myself, I'm glad I did. I'm so glad I did. You know, we never know how we may make a difference, you know.
Yeah.
Also,
no, that's absolutely true. And we're not to sit on the sidelines and be complacent and just allow, you know, folks to be a detriment to themselves or even to others. We're just not. And again, you know, I'm guilty of it sometimes, taking the position of, well, it's not my business. But you know what? It is your business. And there's ways of handling that. And clearly we're not trying to tell you how to handle it tonight, the different avenues. But the one main avenue, and Demetria, you hit it on the head, is first consulting Christ, consulting God, you know, about going to God about what the circumstance is and helping you to you know, directing you in which way to go with that issue. And I know, for one, that it's difficult dealing with a loved one who suffers from mental illness. It's difficult even knowing that they're suffering. And then the other part, trying to convince them to get help. That's hard. And so sometimes we have to step outside of it and, you know, and allow for the professionals to step in and help us out with that situation. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was another woman, she put her kid's hands on the stove or something and burned them. I'm like, what's going on? These loving, you know, and I'm not coming down on mothers, but I just thought, like, the mother carries the baby, you know, and nurses his baby for 9 months, and wow, you know. But clearly some people are overwhelmed, obviously, with life, period.
Right.
And, you know, but there's so much hope, y'all. There's so much hope out there. And that hope is in Jesus Christ.
It really is. There really is. In fact, my favorite Bible verse says, to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. And I believe that as long as you have breath in your body, there mm-hmm. is yet hope. There's yet hope. So mm-hmm. let's just again encourage each other and those listening in tonight, just be ever hopeful. This world is proving to us every day. I mean, there's no denying it anymore. Now more than ever, right is wrong.
Yes.
And wrong is right.
Yeah.
So we need each other. We need this encouragement from each other. We don't need to back up off of the things that we know are right and are true. We need to keep that ever before us. So we need each other to do that. We can't seek
in
that
a lot
on
of
the
ways.
News.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really can't seek it on the news. That's where we're getting these reports from, you know. Well, what do we do after we get the reports? We can come together corporately and as individuals, meet with our God, and you were talking about prayer before and why pray and how to pray. Well, one of the things that I want us to keep on our minds as we go from this conversation is that when we pray about these social issues, one of the main things we do is that we seek guidance. You know, that when we pray, we're not, you know, okay, I prayed about it and that's that. But
yeah,
Father,
absolutely.
There's something that I should do. Show me, teach me, guide me, put me in the path of seeing that thing out, you know, put people in my life that will help me bring it to pass. Let us seek our God for guidance in what we should do, because surely he put us here for a reason. We're still here for a reason to carry out his work in this earth today.
Yes, mm-hmm. and since you said that, another issue has been sex trafficking. And also just right here in New Orleans, and I mean you can choose in any city, any place, with prostitution and things of that nature. And some time ago, about last year, I was helping out a young lady, and unfortunately she had to live at a motel. And because she was there, I was exposed to knowing that this particular motel, there's prostitution going on, right? And so I remember this young girl, she came to the door when I was going to check on the other young lady, and she looked like she had to be in between 13 or 14 years old, and I've never gotten her her face, you know, out of my mind. And Demetria, she stood in the door, and she had a marijuana cigarette, and she was, you know, prepping it, and she kind of stood with this little grown woman stands as if to tell me, what you looking at, you know, because I'm looking at what's this child doing. And, you know, I knew what it was all about. You know, I could tell by the way she was dressed and just knowing that area. So anyway, she stuck with me. And now fast forward to now, I've always thought about her. You know, I prayed about her as well. And just recently it was laid on my heart to try to do something for those women in that area. And I, you know, mm-hmm. began to ask God, so, you know, what do I do? And a simple gesture, and an idea came about. I believe God gave me that idea because another friend of mine, we were talking, and it kind of jailed, you know, about before I can get it out, she kind of finished the sentence almost. And we thought about going to the motel and just leaving roses and some information for resources for those particular women, not knocking at the door and anything like that and engaging them, but just leaving information to let them know we see you, we love you, somebody out there is praying for you, right? And
yeah,
somebody out there cares
awesome.
About you. Because a lot of these young women are runaways, you know, the story I'm sure is vast, you know, there's so many different stories. But then I thought, okay, if I do this, Lord, you know, what if the pimp is around or something? You know, I don't want to put myself in harm's way, right? And so, again, I'm thinking
right.
about, man, okay, so I may have to get a police officer to come out and escort us. Well, again, going to God about the situation, this gentleman's name popped up in my head, and And I talked to him the other night at Bible study. I mean, excuse me, when I was at choir rehearsal last night. And I go up to him, I tell him my idea. And he was like, that's awesome. And he was like, on A&E, they have this show where this pastor goes out and he kind of does outreach to prostitutes and blah, blah, blah. And he, this guy works in law enforcement, you know, so he goes on to tell me I can come out there, and he gave me some pointers that, you know, you need to get a network of people and make sure you have on the same type of T-shirts, and, you know, so he's giving me the safety, you know, part of it, and he's saying, and I'll be more than happy to come out there and escort y'all. And so God put it all together. And it's a small gesture, you know, I'll do my part, and I know God will do the rest. But that's another one of those things, when you keep saying, and when we keep saying, go to God about it, he will lead you. He will lead you.
Right.
You know, on what to do. He will. And he'll put it all together for you.
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about. We need to be engaged. We don't need to just have our heads stuck in the sand as believers. We need to be that salt and light. And if I don't say that again before we get off the air, that I want to say that again before we end, that we are indeed called to be salt and light, and I just want to remind us of that again before we get off the air. Tanya, let's just go ahead and take a quick break, and
okay.
We'll come back and just continue our discussion, okay?
We'll be right back, folks.
Thank you for holding on with us through our break. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. My name is Demetria, and I am not physically here with Tanyelle, but Tanyelle is here with me over the telephone.
Hey. Hey, guys. Hey, welcome back.
Yes, we are continuing our discussion from last week. Lord, Hear Our Cry. This is part two. We're discussing current events taking place in our world, here in America and across the world. Kind of a solemn conversation, at least in my opinion. We kind of slowed it down a little bit because there are things happening that just have grabbed our attention. It's not in a pleasant way, but it's in a real way. This is reality. Mm-hmm. This is the world we're living in. And we want to face it head on. We don't want to look the other way and pretend that we don't see what we do see. Now, that doesn't mean we're not hopeful and that we're not believing God to do some great and mighty things still in this world and still in us and through us and reach out. And that's how he saved us, you know? We want to own it, right? But somehow he got to us. So then if people are going to be saved, people are going to do good. It's just what is our part to play in all of this? As things come to our attention, that's the big question.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Demetria, again, I just go to the greatest example of all. Jesus Christ himself prayed, you know, and he prayed to God and he prayed to him on our behalf, you know, and in John 17 and 9, he starts off and saying, and I pray for them. You know, Jesus was pouring his heart out for us because he walked this earth. He knew his purpose for being here on earth in man form, and he knew once he left us, he knew how crazy this world was you know, still going to be. And so, you know, even Jesus prayed. So there's nothing wrong. There's no weakness in prayer is what I'm trying to say. And so you're right. Some of the things that we're talking about, they may sound a little solemn, but it's okay. You reminded me about that last week. I don't know if you remembered it when, you know, there are times when we have to cry out to God. There are those times.
Right.
There's times that we're going to rejoice and there's times that pause and we need to pay close attention to what's going on so things don't get too chaotic or too out of hand. And when things are overwhelming to us, like I said, I'm over and over seeing this information about children being murdered by their own parents. That's a little overwhelming for the mind. It really is. I want to be a mother. I desire to be a mother. And just to think that someone who's been gifted that opportunity, you know, for whatever reason, they just gave up. I don't know, you know, the reasons. I'm not here to judge. But to take the life of their children is just heart-wrenching, and it's something that it hurts. It really hurts. You know, so, again, I don't believe it's weak to pray. I don't think that it is at all. I think we should go to God for every single thing, everything.
No, it's very necessary, especially for those of us who are believers. We should not neglect to pray, not just for things for ourselves, not just for things for our loved ones, but for society as a whole. We are in this world, but not of this world. And it's good to remind ourselves of that as well. You know, we have a part to play. And do you have any other headlines for us that we can talk about?
Well, one of the other things, and this was a couple of, I think this was last month, but still a constant conversation, and I'm not saying names or anything like that because I just don't want to give people headlines. But there's been an immense amount of conversation around transgender, and where we're even seeing that children have I guess, told their parents that they're deciding that they don't feel comfortable in the sex that they were born in. Again, another one of those things that I just don't understand. And, you know, I know I don't believe that God made mistakes at all. And it's one of those things, again, you know, naturally I would say that God doesn't make mistakes, that's a mental issue, like something's going on there, Lord. But help me to understand, help me not to be, you know, judgmental of anyone, to have understanding, and then again, intercede. When we say intercede, meaning pray, but intercede on that entire situation, period. You know, it's just one of those other things that is just kind of like sticking out. You see in children, and we already know that there's a, you know, an adult that's really grabbing headlines about the situation. And I just have to be honest, if it's supposedly normal, why are we even talking about it? Why does it have to be in the headlines is how I feel. If it's supposed to be normal, I know it's not, and that's why I said supposed to be. then why is it such a thing that it requires a 60-minute news segment that we have to be bombarded with it over and over and over again if it's so normal? It's not normal. And I just feel like, you know, again, that's just one of those things that, you know, we have to go to God on. I know I have to go to him on that situation. And
We do because we want to know how to balance that thing. Something that obviously comes against our morals. We don't want to be hurtful. That's not what we lead with. That's not the heart of God, but we still want to be able to tell the truth. And there is the truth and not many truths, in my opinion. But I want to leave people with hope, but I don't want to compromise what I believe. Now, in your bringing up this topic, recently, to go along with the transgender or even younger kids, teenagers or whatever, who are trying to identify their identities, you know, determine what they are, now it's being frowned upon for them to even go get counseling. You know,
what?
And to me, that's like, our president, among others, but, you know, he's the leader. This is one of the things that he is promoting or he's coming against. So this would include, like, maybe Christian counselors or somebody that a parent brings their child to and say, you know, you got to talk to somebody here. You know, come sit and talk. And, you know, they're saying, no more of that. This child has decided that, you know, this boy has decided that now he wants to be a girl, then you leave him alone. And at an age that you're still so impressionable, you don't even know why. We don't know if this child was molested and now they're confused. We don't know what's going on with them. Don't know if they're just, you know, experimenting as kids do these days. But now they're trying to make it illegal to say that you can go and get some counseling that may help you change your mind. I mean, if that's the outcome of that counseling session, they don't want that. I find that disingenuous because you're not doing what's best for that person. You know, what if they decide that, you know what, this isn't what I need after all? I've come to another conclusion. You know, you decided it now. Don't go to counseling. Nobody's going to change your mind about it.
You know, and not only for that child, but the entire family. The entire family needs counseling. You know, you have to go back to knowing that you have a mother or father who raised a child, you know, that they knew, and all of a sudden, you know, this child is having issues with identifying with their sexuality or sexual identity. That's difficult for a parent, Demetria. You are a parent. That's difficult. So not just that person as well, but the entire family, you know, talking to someone to talk this situation out on how to deal with it. Because, you know, I want to say this, a lot of times we see where we've heard stories where people have committed suicide because their families made them feel inadequate because they've come out and said that they were homosexual or, you know, this issue maybe wanting to be, transform their gender. And you know, I agree with you. If counseling is there and it's available, you know, help that family through that situation. How do I deal with my child who's all of a sudden said something and I don't know how to, again, I don't know how to deal with this. And so the first reaction will be to want to, you know, again, change that person's mind or, reject that person's idea of how they're feeling. And that may not be the right thing to do. So how do I deal with that? So for the
that's not what's making the headline and what's being determined as what they're getting ready to make illegal. Family can go get the counseling. Just don't bring
but
this
the children
child in
can't.
For counseling.
Wow.
That's the
wow.
headline. That's the headline. Wow. That's where the line is being drawn.
So now you're taking rights away from a
that's
parent.
That's very troubling.
Right. You're taking the rights from a parent. I didn't know that. So you're taking the rights from a parent who's supposed to take care of the child, but if the child skips school, and gets in trouble for truancy, then there's laws that say
right.
the parent goes to jail, but then I can't decide to take my child to seek professional help. Wow, that's interesting.
Who's in trouble emotionally. Right.
Right.
Who's in trouble emotionally,
that's
trying to sort out, you know, yeah, emotions, yeah. So
that's interesting.
Again,
yeah.
it vary. In fact, there was an article that I read just today. Again, I'm not picking on my president, but he just made this headline, and it says, I'm reading it, Obama issues statement for International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. There's going to be an International Day. I'm sorry, it's past. It was Sunday. I wasn't aware of it. But Sunday was the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. So he has made it a part of his agenda to see this thing through. You know, we try to be delicate when we discuss this, because again, we don't want to hurt. We don't want to be hurtful to people, and I don't think we are, but we do want to speak the truth in love. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just don't know why. I don't know why. I said this last week. It's like some things just seem to be going into the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things you don't even have to consider whether, okay, this is right or wrong, or it's the new definition of what's right. Basically, people
right.
are deciding for themselves what's right, even though you can clearly look at something and know something's wrong with it. So today I heard a conversation on a radio program that talked about, again, young kids, teenagers. Maybe a girl wants to wear a tuxedo to a prom. She should be allowed to. This was the opinion of the host. Or a boy wants to wear a prom dress, and he should be allowed to. You know, that again, that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of that host. And I'm thinking, come on. You see a guy in a dress, there's just something wrong. And I don't care if you're gay or straight. That's just, that is odd to me. Cause, you know, so why, it's like we're going to extremes to me. Like,
well, you know what, Demetria, and what scares me is that, you know, we're starting, it's like we're embarking upon a world that does not want any boundaries at all. So let's just say take away all the, remember we had the talk show about the segment on the construction signs and reading the signs. So let's just take away all the signs. No speed limits, no anything.
Right.
No, don't walk down this road, watch up ahead. Let's just take away the railroad crosswalk sign, you know,
mm-hmm.
railroad signs and the pedestrian walk signs. Let's just take out all the street lights. Let's just take them all down, and let's just live in this world with no boundaries.
And you know what? That's a great recipe for chaos. That's a great
yes.
recipe for wrecks to happen.
Yes.
But that is the day and age that we're living in. Again, people are coming up with their own ideas of what's right and wrong, and their own standards. This morning as I was getting ready for work and I had the news on, Stephen Colbert, if you don't know who that is, he's getting ready to take over for David Letterman. He gave a commencement speech this past weekend, and in that speech, I'm paraphrasing, he told these graduates to live according to their standards of what was right, and you know, again, I'm paraphrasing. I know I don't have it exactly right. He's, but that was the gist of it. You know, meet the world head on, coming from that angle, according to what is your standard of right. And I looked at my husband and I said, now, doesn't that sound real good? That sounds real good to tell somebody, doesn't it? But no, you need to go a little deeper, because there should only be one standard, and that should be God's standard. So to tell a group of young people who are graduating and getting ready to go out into the world, do what's right in your own eyes. That's what I heard. That's what that translated to me as. But
and I remember,
I've said it, I'm
yeah.
going to say it again, God has a standard. It's his that we should be measuring up to, not even our own.
Mm-hmm. You know, and for an 18, 19-year-old going off to college, I was that 18, 19-year-old. You tell me I didn't have any rules or boundaries. Let me tell you, my life was already a little, you know, chaotic. That's a recipe for disaster. And everybody knows it, you know. It just, again, it's just one of those things. So what's next? Dad, you can marry your daughter. I mean, what's next? Literally. I mean, because we're going to that point. What's next? I just, you know, stop arresting, and I'm not saying don't do this, but stop arresting the teachers who are having relationships with the young men, because then they're going to expand and begin to advocate and say we should be able to love whoever we want to, and he's old enough to know what love is, because this child knows that they don't want to be, you know, the gender that they were born with. So we're going to do away with all these laws. It just opens up a floodgate, you know, for that. You know, again, you know, I always try to use myself. When I was living in sin, living shacked up, you know, now there's this common law marriage thing that was on the books a long, long time ago, right? And to me, that just opened up the floodgate for now what we have, this redefining of marriage, because that was a redefinition of marriage even then. And so now it's even more now being redefined, and now we're scared. Well, you know, I had to ask God for forgiveness because I participated in that, which has now opened up the floodgate for what we're seeing now. And so, you know, for people who are in the faith and who have belief in Christ Jesus, I would just encourage you to continue to be bold, and be bold in a loving way. It's okay to be bold and stand on your belief and your value system if it's attached with God's value system. Stand firm. I love Paul, you know, because Paul was a bold spirit, and he constantly reminded us to not be ashamed about the gospel of truth. And so don't be ashamed. Stick to God's gospel. Don't try to add your own flavor to it. You know what I'm saying? Like just changing stuff around. Stick to what God says, and that's all you can do, and allow God to do the rest. So I would just say to folks who are out there listening who are in the faith, who are feeling like myself and Dimitri and possibly a little bit overwhelmed by all of these situations unfolding, that continue. There's a lot of people that want to hear from Christ. There's a lot of people that are waiting for someone to share that gospel truth with them. Believe me, you know, I bump into those people at Whole Foods. I bump into them at Walmart. I bump into them on a tennis court. There are people out there that are searching for Christ, y'all. Despite what it looks like, there are people out there that are starving, thirsting for him. I was one of those people, and look at me now. Listen to me now, I should say. Yeah.
And again, this is not time to hide our lights under a bushel. We are salt and light in this world. That's what God calls us to be. This is not the time to hide our lights. We need to let them shine that much brighter. I see a couple of callers on our switchboard.
Ooh, go
if
ahead.
You want to join the conversation, go ahead and push the number one. Our time is drawing down, so now is the time to push number one if you want to talk with us live on the air. We'll continue talking, and if I see that you want to come on, I'll go ahead and add you. But once again, just,
and I want to encourage you, please say something.
It's not time. It's not time to shrink back. It's not time to compromise. It's time to be ever so bold in the truth that we know. And that, again, there's just one truth. You know, there's just one standard. That keeps a lot of confusion down when we all look to that one standard, that being God.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much hope.
We don't have to. Yeah,
there's so much hope, and there's hope in God's word. You know, again, all of this stuff that we're seeing, that's why I tell people, read the whole Bible. Not, you know, don't just stay at the New Testament or just the Old Testament. You know, all of it is joined together. You can find direction and wisdom from the entire Bible. And this reminds me of when the conversation between God and Abraham, and he said, you know, Abraham kept dwindling that number down when God said, you know, seek out 50 people, and then it went to 40, then it went, and he finally said, just go give me 10 righteous people. that, and I'll say the city, and unfortunately, because he couldn't find that, but, you know, there's still hope in knowing that we still have an opportunity to show our righteousness, to show that we believe fully in the gospel of truth, and not this perfect person, but that we're striving every day to honor God and to obey him the best we can, you know. And in that few can save a many. Trust me, believe me, you know, it's happened. So I just want to encourage believers, Niecy. I just really do want to encourage believers to let them know that the battle has already been won. Victory has been won. It's just, it does look a little troubling right now. It does. But
this is craziest things, like the motorcycle gangs. Did you hear about that in Waco, Texas?
Yeah.
Motorcycle gangs.
In broad daylight.
Yes. In battle, and 9 people are dead. You know, it's like a scene from a movie or something.
A bunch of grown men. We're not talking about children. You know, we're not talking about black African-American men. You know, we're talking about some grown men who are probably working, you know, class white America, you know, white men. And because, and I preface that because we always hear crime and gangs and we always associate it with one race. But, you know, grown men
and
that have taken
sure
a sport of.
I'm sure we could call these people thugs, you know, who went out here on this gang war that they engaged in, and 9 people are now dead. These things should not be, but they are. I mean, Tanya, I'm just going to quickly kind of name off a couple of things as our time is winding down. Did you hear about this? I heard that they are some parents, I don't even know where this is, but they are wanting to implant chips, or they have the option of implanting chips in their children, their small children, so they can keep track of them. That's scary.
Yeah, that's been talked for some time now. And I think they tested it out in dogs because, you know, they have chips in dogs. Jada has a chip in her dog.
Now they're ready to, if they are not already doing it. To me, it's like, watch your kids. You know, if you take them to the playground, watch your kids. Be there, be engaged with them. You know, the guy who hacked into the airline's computer system and said he took over the plane. I mean, there are some crazy things happening, and we need to know our God. This is why I'm saying all this. We need to know who we are in our God and know where we are going to be for eternity. That's the importance of why I'm bringing up these last few things, because we don't know how things are going to turn out this side of heaven. We don't know how bad it may get. We need to ever be ready.
The outcome that we do know, Niecy, that victory has already been won for believers. So, and I just want to preface that. Right. Like, that's what keeps me going every day. I'm saying, you know, it keeps me getting up every day. It keeps me, you know, waking up and saying, okay, I know that happened, but Lord, you sent your son, and he already won. He defeated death on the cross. It's just that we have to live in this crazy world, you know. And so, again, you know, if you're a believer, you stand for your family. You be that righteous one in your family. And it just takes that
right
to be the salt, to be the light in that family, you know. And so hopefully that your family, is saved amongst all of the madness that's going on. And so, you know, that's where I will end, just to encourage the believer out there to just continue to stay encouraged, stand bold in your faith. You study to show yourself approved so that you'll know what to say to someone when they come in there asking, and then let your life show what you've been learning, you know?
Right. I'm reminded of Jesus and his disciples when they came to him and with the blind man and said, you know, why is this man blind? So that's a bad situation. It's a blind situation. There's something there that's not right. And they wondered what's the reason that he's blind. And you know, Jesus, he says, you know, it's not his fault, not his parents' fault, but this is
not the world
God might be made manifest in him. And to a great degree, when I see all of this chaos, I still know it's an opportunity for God,
that's
for his
saying.
Glory to
yes.
be made manifest in the earth. It's still that opportunity. We know that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. This is ever to be our hope. I don't want us to lose hope. I just want us to be aware. I want us to be on our guard. That's my purpose in doing this, having this discussion tonight. We're not sticking our heads in the sand as believers anymore. We're going to be engaged. We're going to seek our God's face and let him guide us as to what we need to do and how we need to do in this day and age. Danielle, our time is gone.
It is gone, and we are not going to be lukewarm believers, right? Right.
No, no more.
Yes.
No more.
No more.
Salt
no more.
Light.
Amen.
Yes.
Good night, everyone. We love y'all. We love y'all so much.
Good night. Until next time.
Father would be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give to us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Be thy name.